Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello and welcome to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 and part 2 of a watch-along, Sri Lanka 2018. You've already heard so many of the tales that surrounded TalkSport's first cricket tour overseas in 13 years. Well, now the rest of them, including one of the greatest Sam Elhedery stories you'll ever hear. So stay tuned for that, and also, of course, the culmination of what was going on the field. You're listening to the Cricket Collective and a look back at England's 2018 tour of Sri Lanka.
People, it seems like throughout your career, write you off, and then you keep wanting to prove to people all the way through that you work hard at your game, the stuff behind the scenes that people don't see, the recovering from injuries that can potentially keep you out for 6 to 8 weeks, but you get back in 3.5 and you're able to be fit to play in a game. Yes, you might not be comfortable, you might not be 100%, but it's those things that that put you in a place to be available for selection, to make these things happen, like today, and the sleeping on an ice machine, the doing your rehab in the gym, going through the stuff that actually really hurts, and missing games and the hurt that's inside, and people saying X, Y, and Z about you when you've not necessarily done a huge amount wrong for the last couple of years. It does hurt. It's not nice. And it's all well and good people like sat watching on telly and sat behind a desk having opinions, but they've never been out in the middle. They've never experienced 30 degrees heat, running between the wickets, running into ball, keeping wicket with gloves on in humidity or anything like that. And it's those bits, and it means a heck of a lot today to come in and the challenge batting at 3 to come in and do well, it means a huge amount.
I don't feel that anybody's written you off.
There's plenty of things that have been said by a few people that have that haven't been necessarily the politest things, shall we say.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2, a look back at TalkSport 2's exclusive coverage of the Sri Lanka series back in 2018. And we've rocked up in Colombo for the third test match. England are 2-0 up with just one to play. We arrive at the ground and find that the conditions are cramped, to say the least. The commentary box essentially was so small. Well, it wasn't just small, was it, guys? There was also one other massive problem with it. And that was the huge concrete pillar slap bang in the middle of it. It was ridiculous. And not only that, Sri Lanka is a very hot country, so you've got to have air conditioning in every single booth. The room was small. There was a pillar in the middle of it, which essentially meant that Sal, the producer, didn't see any cricket. He just looked at a concrete post for 5 days. And behind him was this aircon blowing directly jets of cold air down his neck. So his legs were hot and his head was cold, and he was looking at a pillar. And that was it.
I think, to be fair with Sal, I think in all, I know that one was particularly bad, but I think in all three commentary positions for him, he didn't get a good view of any cricket. I think he said to me after the tour, he'd been out there for 15 days of test cricket and didn't really see a ball being bowled live. He had to watch it all off the TV, but it felt like a fitting way, didn't it, to end a pretty chaotic tour when it came to commentary boxes and hotels that, yeah, I mean, that it was small, wasn't it? I mean, you could barely fit more than, you know, if you weren't on commentary duty, you had to pretty much leave the room, didn't you? It was chaotic.
Absolutely. But look,
in terms of the action on the field, and it is a great little ground. There was another guy that was back. It was Johnny Bairstow, brought back in for that third test match. And it's probably the innings that has kind of like led to this stereotype that, you know, he's flame haired and he always produces when he's angry, this kind of thing. But it was a bit of a strange moment. Let's hear Mark Nicholas. It was a strange moment insofar that there was a dog on the pitch for a while. And then he's neatly segued into Bairstow scoring century. It was Nico at his absolute masterful best. So here's how Johnny Bairstow went to 100 in Colombo on TalkSport 2.
Sandy Can takes his time. He comes into bowl. It's a sweep from Bairstow. It's 100 from Bairstow. It's a moment to savour from Bairstow. It's a cry of elation. The comeback kid has made Colombo his own.
Take a bow, Johnny Bairstow. Absolutely delighted for the young man. And you could tell, I mean, I think you could hear it there on the through the stump mics. We certainly could. It was three screams of yes, yes, yes.
So that was a century moment. And then that interview off the back of it where he spoke to Nico and the team, and he just gave everyone... It was bizarre, wasn't it, Bats? It was no real... didn't sound particularly joyful. He sounded angry. It was like kind of giving both barrels to people. It was a bit of a strange way to react after scoring a century.
Yeah, particularly the way that he played. I remember his first 20 balls, he was at like 25, 26. He played beautifully. A couple of big off drives and a nice punch off the back foot. He played really, really well and been really positive and set the game up for England. But it was kind of the build-up of what had gone before. He was very driven to get runs, and we all knew that. But it was the fact that Ben Foulkes had turned up on the tour as a reserve, not meant to be in selection. So Butler didn't take the gloves. It was Foulkes that did in that game, and Bairstow felt as though he'd been pushed out unfairly, because Foulkes should not have even been in selection, I think was what he was trying to get at. Butler should have been keeper. He was second string, so on and so forth. And I think it was just a huge amount of emotion that a man had lost his test place, because he announced himself fit for the second, didn't he? And then England said, you're not fit, and left him out again. So it was just the whole... There were rumours about England wanting to slot him in at number three and just bat and not keep wicket. There were lots of things. And I think what came about, and what I think we have to glean off the interview, was that these guys are under so much pressure. Even your best outcome and the way that he played, you're not going to get many better outcomes than that. The pressures and the whole psychological build-up over a period of time just flew out, and it came out in his interview. And I remember myself and Goffey sort of speaking to him afterwards, just saying, look, calm down. Before you go to the written press, just calm yourself down and gather your emotions, particularly Goffey, who's very close to him. And you could see it's just a guy who wants to do well, has a huge amount of pride, and it just came out. So in some ways, brilliant. In other ways, probably we don't need to see that as much. But make no mistake, it was one heck of an innings.
Yeah, I think we got the... Because I think you're right, Bats. He did the written press last. I think he calmed down after us. And he then also did, I think, Sky before us. And he wasn't quite as forceful with Sky as he was with us. He then came over to us. And I remember standing next to Mark at the time. And my jaw was just open. I think we're so used to in listening to sportsmen sort of give, you know, standard answers. You know, it's all about the team. I'm now looking forward to the next test match. And I know it became pretty hard, but I thought it was quite refreshing just to hear his passion, his determination, and sort of, you know, two fingers up to the written press, perhaps certain people in the England dressing room. But I remember watching him, and there was just passion and raw emotion in him. And I found it, as an England fan as well, just quite refreshing to hear an England player lay it all on the line. But it was the most extraordinary interview I've heard for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what people don't realise as well is, you know, he's got cricket in his blood, doesn't he, Johnny? And he's a different kind of tourist. Again, we're talking about the ways that you get your head around touring. Now, what people may not realise is that when Johnny tours, very often his family come with him, don't they? His mum and his sister. I think his mum and his sister had been at those first two test matches, and he hadn't played, and he should have played the second one, he felt. And, you know, that he must have felt their frustration as well. You know, that's not relevant, I suppose, but you care, don't you? You care when your mum and your sister are upset. So yeah, it was an interesting moment, and it did show, you know, Johnny at his tigerish best on and off the field. In terms of the action, England 336. By this point, you just had the feeling Sri Lanka were a beaten side, but they did make a good fist of things at the start. 173 for one in reply. You know, they had a feeling that they could make a real go of this. Karunaratne, who is by far the best of the Sri Lankan batsmen, also Dhananjaya De Silva, following up the five for Lakshan Sandakan, but wickets toppled quickly, and it was a five for Farhad Al-Rashid. And, you know, you can see, especially when England are touring in the subcontinent, why England are so keen to get Adil Rashid back in that side. But unfortunately, you know, I think we've seen the last of him, but certainly not only does Rashid, did he produce the goods in that series, but you just got the feeling Rashid being in the side also brings out the best in Moeen Ali.
Yeah, they're very close, aren't they? They're great friends off the field as well as on it. I think they very much understand where their life is when it's not on a cricket field. And those are the things, touring particularly. You need those allies, you need those close people around you that understand you, that pick you up when you're down or bring you down when you're a bit too up. And they're great friends and they bounce off each other. Look, from an England fan point of view, the biggest thing is his skill set now is, and we saw in that series, is second to none in the world from leg spin point of view. There is nobody else in the world that you would say this guy has Adil Rashid covered in Test cricket. And from a fan point of view, I think that's where we miss that, because his skills are as good as they're going to get. And it's a shame he's not going to be there again this time around. And he complimented the other two so brilliantly. And I, again, that just seemed like a conversation that should have been had, to say, look, we're not going to put you through the mire. You're not going to have to bowl the excessive overs. We need your X factor for certain periods of the game. You're going to be treated like, you know, I mentioned the Australian three fast bowlers. You know, you're Abret Lee in that scenario. Moeen Ali is your Gillespie, and McGrath, your Leach, who's going to bowl more of the overs. However you want to work it out, but I think it's a real shame for English cricket. And you know what? It might be that his shoulder can't take the rigours of five-day cricket. Absolutely fine if that is the case. But if it isn't, you know, as an England fan, it's really disappointing that he's not going to be there this time.
Well, let's hear how Adil Rashid took those wickets on TalkSport team.
Here is Rashid again, LBW appeal. Sundaram Ravi thinks about it and raises the finger. Adil Rashid has five wickets. Sundaram Ravi raises the finger for the second time. And Sri Lanka have been bowled out extraordinarily for 240. They've lost their last eight wickets for the addition of just 53 runs. And England will take a lead of 96 into the second innings.
That was Adil Rashid with a fifer. England with a first innings lead and looking good to take the series 3-0. Stay tuned. You'll find out exactly how they go about doing that. This is the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
He'll run. Big appeal for leg before wicket. Up goes the finger. First ball of the morning. Keaton Jennings has pushed half forward. He's been struck on the pad in about a line of off stump.
Comes in towards us. Burns, hit on the pad. It's very full. It's out LBW.
In the air, he's caught in short leg. That's an amazing catch, I've got to tell you. The ball was back of a length and he worked it firmly off his hip and short leg clung on to play out. Cotton ball, Joe Root. Wow. England are doing more than just wobbling now. They're close to panic.
We're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Myself, John Norman, alongside Gareth Batty and Sam Ellard. Looking back at England's tour of Sri Lanka back in 2018. So, you left us with England again in a dominant position. Big first innings lead. And despite losing early wickets, 50s from Butler, another solid innings from Ben Folkes, meeting Sri Lanka needed 327 for a consolation win. Let's hear how England's innings went along.
Butler, who decked it on the full and hits it past mid-off for four.
Just Butler, 49 not out, prepares to face Dilruan, comes down the pitch, pushes into the offside, takes the outside portion of the bat and goes down to third man. He touches down at the non-striker's end, makes his way back to the far end, and it is another 50 for Joss Butler. Folks, just gently push drive down to long off for a single, and that single brings up a 300 lead for England in this test match against Sri Lanka at the SSC. Jack Leach, who's beaten outside of off stump, whips the bails off, and Jack Leach goes. England 230 all out, the lead 3-2-6.
So another 300 plus target for Sri Lanka, and it was Ali and Leach again. Combining, so between the three of them, Rashid, Ali and Leach, absolutely crucial. Four wickets for both Ali and Leach in that second innings. And England win the test match by 42, which does sound quite close. In fact, it looked like the game would be finished early, but the last partnership put on a good whack. It looks close, but in truth, Bats and Sam, 3-0. Sums up pretty much where it was. There were some moments where Sri Lanka competed, but England, once they got their noses in front, eased ahead and, you know, just showed their skills, but also their experience of making sure when you're on top in Test cricket, you really ram home the advantage.
Yeah, I think rather than just this game in isolation, I think the whole planning of how England were going to go about playing in Sri Lanka, they were expecting turning pitches, they picked the three spinners. The three spinners performed. Did they perform? It was arguably as good a performance from England spinners as we've ever seen travelling the subcontinent. The methodical nature of how they went about it in blocks of the game was brilliant. Look, 42 runs, I think England probably would feel that it was a far more comfortable game than that. Although 42 runs on some of the surfaces was quite a massive margin of victory. But I think Joe Root deserves a huge amount of credit, and the backroom staff, coaches and management, for how they went about setting it up. And it happened. For me, it started from goal when the pitch was tacky and we went really aggressive. We tried to bat in such a manner that we put them on the back foot rather than just trying to bat out that session. And I think that set us on the front foot. The tactics were brilliant. The players were brilliant to execute those tactics. And the nice thing for Rashid, Leach and Ali were that they cleaned up in the wicket stakes, and there were some brilliant batting performances along the way.
It's never easy, is it, going to the subcontinent and winning? It's not something England have done often, Bats. But were you surprised at the lack of quality, should we say, in the Sri Lanka team? I mean, as good as England were, did you think that they'd put up a bit more of a fight, especially with the bat?
Yeah, I think when you look at Sri Lanka and a team for the last 15 years, how they had been, they're quite a combative team. There was sort of a, you know, you knew you were up in a fight. I felt at times they didn't quite battle like they had done. And it's very difficult when you lose your Jayawardena as well, even before that, Muralitharan, Jayawardena, Vass, Sangakkara. I mean, we're talking about the best of the best. You don't replace those players overnight. And in a smallish country, it's difficult to do. So, you know, they're sort of, call it the golden years. There's going to be a dearth for a while, and it's going to be difficult because you can't replace those players. because those players didn't start off being the greats that they ended up being in the first 20, 30 test matches. They needed time. Sri Lanka needed that time. And those players were in a relatively successful team when they were bloodied. The players coming through now, they're kind of on their own. And I think the biggest thing now, that what they have to do is they have to learn from what England did. And yes, you know, your Rashids, your Alis, your Leach, Root maybe with the bat or Folks with the bat will get the plaudits. But if you look at England's whole series in the three games, there were four, five, six players making good contributions throughout the game. Sri Lanka had one or two. So it needs to be a bit more of a team performance in output and try and put the opposition under pressure as a group of players.
Aside from all this, there was not something else happening. You know, there was a groundswell, you know, a movement. It seemed like something had happened. And I really picked up on this when I was at the end of the day's play. It was the end of the series. It was the end of the tour. And I just popped down to the side of the pitch. We'd finished broadcasting. And I cast my eye where a big bunch of England fans were congregating. They'd enjoyed seeing their team win. And they were all taking photos and they were calling over, you know, a guy that had suddenly become, you know, this, he was an unknown and now was a big celebrity. And it was Sam Ellard. You know, he was surrounded by Barmy Army. Oh, Sam, come over here, Sam. Come and take a photo, Sam. I've got this amazing photo, which I took of Sam having his photo taken by all these Barmy Army types who were like, yeah, come in, come on, let's get a photo with Sam.
I've got to say that's my favourite. That was, I think the first time.
That was your favourite moment.
No. I'll tell you what my favourite moment was a second. That was the first selfie I'd ever had taken of me. And the fact that you got it on camera, John, was quite a cool moment. But do you know what? Something we haven't spoken about. And Bats just reminded me, because you mentioned his name. One of the most surreal moments for me on all three tours that I'd done was when I went round to Kumar Sangakkara's house in Gaul. Yeah.
Now, Bats, we didn't even talk about
No, like this was so casual. Bats kind of like mentioned it in the test match. Oh, I'm going around to Kumar's house. Do you want to come? And I'm like, yeah, of course I do. And then I went into Kumar Sangakkara's house and he is the nicest man you could ever possibly meet. I'm sat there on his sofa eating his food and he is coming up to me like one of the greatest cricketers of all time, asking me if I'm okay, asking me if I'm okay for a drink. And it's like Kumar Sangakkara is making sure I'm okay. And it's just, it was like so cool. I'm sat there in Kumar's house after a test match, having a drink with him. And I think Ian Ward was there, Bats was there, quite a few other members of the TalkSport team was there. But that was just surreal, where you're like, Kumar Sangakkara's there. Unbelievable.
Okay, well, look, we're running out of time. But I've mentioned my favourite moment. It was Barmy Army versus Talk Sports. That was your favourite moment. Bats, have you got a moment that comes to mind?
Do you know what? I actually think that train journey was, it was something I was a little bit apprehensive about. Not apprehensive, but there was a lot of dilemma about it. And I was sort of, I'll go with the flow. But I'm so pleased I did it. It was quite incredible. And I'll tell you what it's done. At home now, all these train journeys that are on TV, I watch them. I think it's amazing. It was such a good thing. Truly, the 4 hours felt like 4 minutes. It was absolutely magnificent. And to be there with the man of the people, Sam Ellard, and your good self was brilliant.
It was. You're right. It was brilliant. The scream when suddenly the mole drop appeared. But you know, we're coming to the end of the show. There's so many amazing memories. The food as well in Sri Lanka. Mm. I think in terms of the food, I don't think there's a country that comes close. But we can't end the show or complete the show without actually hearing that. And you're going to have to be quick. The story that, well, I'll set the scene, right? It was at the end of a day's play in Kandy. We're back at the hotel where we're staying. And suddenly Jared and Sam come back. Jared looks, Sam looks slightly subdued. And Jared is the opposite. Jared is like, Jared is loud at any time, but he's loud even for Jared. And Jared is quite excitable quite a lot of the time. But even for Jared, he's way beyond anything we've seen before. And all he's saying is, Sam nearly died. Sam nearly died. Sam nearly died. And the way that Sam nearly died, even now, I have no idea how I would have explained that to the bosses. And I don't know what I would have said to your parents at your funeral, Sam. But maybe you can tell the TalkSport listeners just how close you came to death, essentially, in a way that unfortunately would have led to laughs for the next 20, 30 years.
For the listeners, they're probably, it sounds ridiculous, but I promise you, it's the God's honest truth. Me and Jared were in a tuk-tuk. We used to film a little social media thing, Jared Kimber's tuk-tuk. And how do I phrase this so I can say on the radio? A cow was trying to escape a bull because the bull was trying to, you know, I think the bull liked the cow. And I swear to God, we were in the side of the road and this cow had come next to the tuk-tuk. And I looked to my left and I saw this cow next to me. And then behind it was a bull attacking the cow. And thank God, our tuk-tuk driver, he did so well to manage to get into the next lane. Because if he didn't, this cow, I was next to the cow, Jared was the other side. This cow was going to come straight into the tuk-tuk and knock us over, or, you know, it could have killed me. Because they were, as you can imagine, gigantic. But I've screamed. And the tuk-tuk driver has done so well to get into the other lane. It sounds bonkers, but I literally managed to just escape being killed by a cow who was being attacked by a bull.
And that is why you are the man of the people.
Oh, God, don't even go. Oh, it was unbelievable. But, oh, those tuk-tuks.
Right. Guys, that's it. That was Sri Lanka. You can't follow that, so I'm not going to try to. But I hope that we have communicated the craziness of that tour. Oh, wow. It was an incredible 2 months. Nothing would ever touch it in terms of madness. Andrew McKenna said it was the toughest tour he'd ever been on, and he's had 20 years of this. For me, it was the most stressful 2 months of my life. But boy, did we have some laughs. Yeah, brilliant. Guys, you were absolutely integral parts of it. Thank you so much for sharing that journey. I hope the listeners have enjoyed listening back to a bit of the action, a bit of the commentary, but also some of the tales from the TalkSport tour bus. This has been a Sri Lanka Watch Along from 2018. You've been listening to Gareth Batty, Sam Allard, myself, John Norman, and this has been The Cricket Collective.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.